This morning, I'd like to begin the thoughts and the subject that I have on my mind in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. We'll get a couple of verses here to begin with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Three verses I'll read. The 16th verse says, "Rejoice evermore." Really short verse there. Wonderful one. And another short one just beneath that. 17th verse says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. And I have prayer on my mind, and this week at some point I'm not sure if someone asked, well, how do you prepare for Sunday at 11 o'clock, what's your thought process, what do you do, where do you go in the Bible, and so forth. I think every week it changes. I have different thoughts, and I hope that God is guiding that. This week, the thought came to me, because I have preached on prayer before in different aspects. Certainly, there are many places in the Bible that we can go to. I like going to that the factual story, I might say, of King Hezekiah in talking about prayer and all, and his experiences. But I've done that before and used that. But there are other places today that of the points that I feel led to make. But the thought came to me, What do I need to be reminding, to put in remembrance of the congregation here? What is that I need? Now, I should ask that every time. I should ask many questions every time before I get up to preach. But all of a sudden, I seem like I either read something or went across a verse or a writing or something that talked about prayer, and then that stuck with me. And if there's anything that, I mean, there's so much that a minister should be reminding children of God to do, or reminding them what's been done for them, what's not necessary for them to do, your eternal salvation, so forth, and all. But I think, but if there's anything, it's prayer. And I can't even help but think that someone, and many preachers get up and they'll say some of the same phrases and so forth, but, oh, here we go again, going to remind us we need to pray, ask for prayers. Preachers ask for prayers. And even some of the songs today, I liked Trust and Obey that was selected. So I'm thinking, well, unless you trust God and Jesus Christ, you're not going to pray to Him. If you don't believe in Him and trust in Him and do not cast your cares on Him, you're not going to pray to Him. Why bother? And I've often had this thought, if every single action event in this world in time here on earth is what's few people think, predestinated, everything's determined, that God predestinated, at what point between that pew and here I'd pull my handkerchief out, that which is not true, it's not predestinated, well then why would you ever even pray? I guess it's predestinated, you'd pray, but that's not it. I think, well, if everything's just laid out, then everything's done. Just go on, whatever happens. And we know that that's not the case, that we pray that God would guide us in our life. And then there's something called providence, where He does guide us and so forth. And I'm thankful for that. But we trust in God. We pray to Him. We trust, as Brother Billy prayed, he trusts that God can and hopes that He does answer his prayer. I certainly was praying with Brother Billy as far as this country. It's not guaranteed that the church will be here when Jesus Christ come again. It's going to be somewhere on this planet. Yes. But I know he hasn't promised me I'd even be around a church. Many people have lived places geographically where they were in the church for hundreds of miles. And they would drive those miles to get to a church, and sometimes you just can't. There's nothing around, and all. But it'll be here. But I pray the same prayer that Brother Billy prays, and that we are taught in God's Word to pray for those who represent us in our government. I say that instead of saying our leaders in government, but those that represent us. So. But anyway, so we trust in Him that He'll answer our prayers, and also that when we pray in error, we pray for something specific, and that's not what we need, then God will look over us and then guide us how we need to be guided in our lives. So we trust in that as well, and certainly always pray that God's will be done. And in fact, I like that this 18th verse mentions that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I happen to think of the sum of the reasons, I guess not the reasons that we do pray. I pray because I have some things that I'm in need of. I pray to thank Him for things He supplied me, as Brother Billy did. So not why do we pray, but why do we trust in prayer? Why do we think that our prayers will be answered? One of the reasons that we do pray and that we do trust in it certainly is that God commands us to pray. I just read a verse, pray without ceasing. That does not mean all the time. We use our mind and all, but to continually pray, be prayerful. And we have that great blessing at any moment. We don't have to go to anyone else. We don't have to be in a certain place. We don't have to stand in a certain way or kneel in a certain way. We have our habits and our traditions and so forth. But we can pray at any moment. And I've prayed the prayer, just a short prayer. There's some short verses I just read. But Lord, help. Just Lord, help. And I'll tell you what, some of the times I prayed that prayer, I needed Him so desperately. But didn't know what to pray. Maybe I didn't have time to pray. I was in the midst of tribulation. And I prayed, Lord, help. So certainly we're told to pray by God through His Word. That's reason enough. And it's reason enough to trust Him that we're taught to pray that He will answer our prayers. Might not be in the affirmative when we pray for something. Maybe in the negative. We're taught that. We see also, we're given, as I mentioned, Hezekiah, and we'll see a couple of other examples in here today. Not that one so much, unless I'm drawn strongly to that. But we see also, number two, we see examples of answered prayers in God's Word. All these hundreds and thousands of years ago, we see where prayers were answered. And what I like in God's Word is the various prayers that are in there that are answered. I see specific prayers in there, very specific prayers. Even Jesus Christ. There's another example I often go to is Jesus Christ telling Peter, I've prayed for thee. I've prayed for thee. And he prayed a specific prayer. With Satan was out to get Peter. And so he prayed a specific prayer. So even our Savior and Redeemer Our shepherd, Jesus Christ, prayed specific prayers, and he prays for us. I'm thankful to know that. When I fail to pray when I need to be praying, then I know that Jesus Christ is doing that in my room instead. So we see examples in God's Word where it's like, okay, this prayer was said, uttered by this person, and that prayer was answered specifically. And then what I like too is after they have prayed in here, and I brought this to your attention before, is there's a situation where God has blessed even more than what was asked in that prayer by that person. It's like he didn't just give that person what they asked for, what they required, what they wanted, what they needed, what they thought they needed, but gave them even more, just heaped on the blessings. Now, all these examples are no different from you and I in that they were sinners. They were sinners. They were saved by grace. If they're sincerely praying to God and they trust in Him, then they believe in Him. And so they are children of God, born again there, not having seen or even really or heard their Savior preach, their Redeemer, as the apostles and disciples did. But we see that they were blessed in their prayers. But this was so long ago. What if? And you never have to ask, well, what if God has changed? We know He's not going to change. God does not change. He's perfect. He doesn't have to change. We should change. So what if He stops answering those prayers? And so we have these great examples in God's Word that the prayers were answered. But then a third thing that we see that causes our faith to be exercised in prayer is that we see others around us. Either someone has prayed a prayer for them that we are aware of, and we see the answer to that prayer, or whether something is audible, or maybe we've prayed a prayer, which we are to pray for one another. We'll get to that in a moment. And then we see that answer. That gives us more strength to know that God answered that. Now, when it's a specific prayer, and we think a lot of times of a physical healing. Email was sent out this week about an illness, a condition, and all, and asked for prayers and specifically for that. And so many times we think of that, and then when we do see a healing there, the statement from God, "My grace is sufficient for thee," when Paul prayed to Him that He would remove that thorn in His side, in His flesh. And He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So we see others being blessed in answer to their prayers. To me, one of the strongest evidences that continues to cause me to exercise my faith in praying to Him and for specific things is the prayers that I know that I've prayed in my life that have been answered. I'm the only one other than God that knows that that prayer was uttered, and then I see that answer. But not so much the speed in which it might be answered. That has happened. I've said a prayer, and within seconds, that prayer was answered in the affirmative. He provided what I felt like I needed at the time and expressed that to Him in my prayer, and so that builds that trust for us. And when I pray a prayer, and it's like, well, And I go 6 months or 6 years, you know, well, hey, I guess the answer was no. I don't really ever say he did not answer my prayer. He hears our prayers. And in the communion service, it says, as oft as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he come again. So if you do this, you show the Lord's death till he come again. That's reason enough to do that, perform that ordinance. But when you pray, you're telling God that you do trust that he will hear your prayer and then answer that prayer, or he will overrule your human nature and give you truly what you need, what is best for you. He's not going to give you something that's not needed, that will not help you, that will not guide you. When he sacrificed his only begotten son for you, he's not frivolous, and with the answers to our prayers, and he hears every one of them. And so we see where our trust in him in praying is built up every day. Pray without ceasing, just continually as you're going through your life. Pray without ceasing. There's some people that I look at and think, you know, I don't think they even need to be reminded of this. That I see the prayer in their lives. And it's not, there's plenty of verses that say it's not for show. Yeah, we have an audible prayer. Someone leads us in prayer in our church worship services, but it's not for show. And I pray, even when at the church at Stratton, when I prayed that long prayer at one point, and the child yelled out, "Boy, that's a long one." I hope I wasn't doing that for show. That God was guiding me. In fact, I'll share this with you. Brother James Mosley, last weekend, he and Heather and the boys stayed with us, and he asked me my experiences in being called to the ministry and all, and I told him, I said, well, you know, I was easy to leave it up to the church, and if there's nothing there in the gift to preach, then there's nothing there, and I could go on. But at a couple of times, both a church here in Fort Worth and in Snyder, I was called on to pray. After I prayed, a couple of the ministers started to ask me, "Have you ever felt a calling to preach?" And I was like, "Well, I hadn't really, and I don't know if I'd answered them honestly because I wanted to fly under the radar and all, and I was fine." But so we leave the church to judge that. But so prayers can be blessed in so many respects and for so many reasons. But it's not for show. God, do we think God cares how eloquent, you know, that our prayers? Have mercy on me, a sinner. There's a prayer right there. That's certainly one of mine. So our trust in him is built up. Our strength in being reminded that we are to pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, because this... For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, 1 Samuel, chapter 12. Now, here is, and I had just mentioned a moment ago, that we are to pray for one another. Now we'll see, and you think, well, yeah, sometimes I confess, I question the importance, number one, of one of my prayers. Like, okay, oh, I need to pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so in this and all. And I think, well, oh, so many people are praying all. Well, this shows the importance of that. It should impress upon us the importance of praying for one another. It says here in the 23rd verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Samuel, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." It's a sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God forbid. I believe that shows the seriousness in the mind of God of praying for one another. In just this one verse. Certainly we know that. And again, one of those four things that I mentioned, the examples and what we see and feel and experience that causes us to know in our hearts that this is true. That God's Word. And if that's not enough, this Bible is the Word of God, and He's said these things. He's given us these examples. I should be able to stop there in, okay, what do I need to give me reassurance and to exercise my faith that to continue to pray continually throughout my life without ceasing? Well, it should be enough that God's told us to, but then He gives us, like I told you, the examples of others in our lives, of our in our lives, and then examples in His Word that is His Word. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. That's a big commandment right there. Fear the Lord. Well, okay, I do. I do. I fear Him. I have respect, utter respect for the Lord. And then he says, serve Him in truth. Well, I hope I do that. Hope we do that. Serve Him in truth. To me, serving Him in truth is such a great blessing. I think of all the untruths that are out there of blessed children of God that are serving Him, but maybe not in complete truth, but they're children of God. And God is taking care of them. He answers their prayers. He is glorified when they pray to Him of whatever that prayer may be. When Paul prayed in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, my heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that they be saved. If he was at that moment praying that they be saved eternally, that's a waste of time. God, if they are children of God, they're going to be saved eternally. Pray for something else. Well, he was. And he goes on. God tells us what he was praying for. They be saved from their ignorance. And so doing this, serve him in truth, that's a wonderful blessing that we can do that. I can pray to him and think in the back of my mind or in the front of my mind, well, I've already been saved eternally by the blood of Christ, legally, on the cross. Christ did that. I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ, is who I'm praying in His name to God. So it should give us more strength in that. But then it says, with all your heart. With all your heart. There's a hard one there. So often I don't even pray to Him with all my heart. All of it. Certainly distracted in things, and many times that can't be helped. If we're at work at the office or something and we feel led to utter a prayer at that time, at that moment, at our desk or someone, and we're interrupted or something. But with all my heart, trust and obey. Trust and obey. With all my trust. And I know I've told you before, I've said a prayer thinking at the time I said the words in my mind to Him, He's not gonna answer this. I've thought that. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but thinking, I just don't know about that. Well, maybe I should rethink my prayer, many times. And then I hope this is not false humility, but I think I don't deserve an affirmative answer to this prayer, but it's according to His mercy. And it's according to my righteousness in Christ Jesus. So remember, as we tell you all the time, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us even now in our soul and spirit. So that's how God sees us. If he looked at me like who I am, as we were talking this morning, and Sister Melba and some of the others, and I said, "Boy, you're getting to know me." I was saying some things maybe I shouldn't have, but you're getting to know me really well. Maybe this wasn't a good idea the last 3 years over here, but we know one another and we know ourselves. But God, through His mercy and His grace and His view of us through Christ Jesus, then He'll answer your prayers. He'll answer them. For consider how great things He hath done for you. I believe that's part of pray without ceasing. Consider continually. Do that without ceasing. Do this without ceasing. Consider how great things He hath done for you. And I do that every now and then. I see it on some show, maybe we're watching on television or something, but I think about it every now and then, that I look back, and as I say, as dull as I think my life has pretty much been, not really a lot of activity. I haven't even, you saw last Sunday, Brother Cooper Mosley had broken his arm in last day of school in football. And I said, I never broke a bone because I didn't do anything enough to break a bone. As, you know, Ty may, I don't know how rough baseball is and all, but so I never did anything where I broke bones. And all. I had a pretty dull life. But I do look back on certain events. And I think some of you have mentioned this as well. That I think it's a miracle. You know, I think maybe you're thinking, okay, it's a miracle I'm not in jail or I'm not dead. Maybe in that He watched over me, or injured in some way. I've done some things working around the house and near misses on stuff and all, and being physically injured, maimed in some way maybe or something. But I think back, and so consider how great things He's done for us. Do that without ceasing. All this stuff that I've said since what, 10 after 11 or what time, every time it was I got up, it's God honoring, God praising, it's glorifying to Him when we do these things. And so we are not, I'll tell you this in all honesty, we are not bothering God when we pray to Him. Because at the same time, I'm praying and I'm thinking, I'm sure others are praying at this same moment for whatever they're praying for, and He hears them. He hears that prayer. God is a great God. Now, in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, 1 Kings chapter 18, one example here, then I'll jump over to the book of James and then head toward closing it out. But 1 Kings chapter 18. And in fact, this event here is mentioned in the 5th chapter of James with Elijah. Let me read the 36th verse of this 18th chapter of 1 Kings says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said," so he said, Elijah said this, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word." Elijah had done many things at the word of God here. But he acknowledged these things. He said, "Let it be known, Thou art God, that I am Thy servant." So we acknowledge that. We have the sample or the teaching of how to pray of Jesus Christ. It's not the Lord's prayer. Well, it's not the Lord's prayer. He wasn't saying a prayer as He did in the 17th chapter of Gospel of John. But on how to pray. Here's another one. Elijah, we have this from him. This is how we can pray. Also, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's another example. We have plenty of ways that we are taught how to pray. Thou art God. We acknowledge that in Israel, that I am Thy servant, And then he says, I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Okay, so he's acknowledged to God in his prayer, thou art God in Israel. But then he says, then he continues, that hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. So here's a specific prayer. He's praying to God, let the people see that and know that thou art God. That's, I believe that's part of the prayer that Brother Billy led us in today, that this nation, of the United States of America, would do that, would acknowledge that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Humble themselves. That there, and thou hast turned their heart back again. And when all, in 39th verse, I'm going to skip down to that, 39th verse, and when all the people saw it, in the 38th verse, but I don't want to go through all of this, and when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. So they saw, I love this story here, but there's a whole sermon in that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones, even the stones. The fire of the Lord consumed all of that. They saw that, and then they acknowledged the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. So his prayer, Elisha's prayer, was answered. Right then, they acknowledge that. It doesn't say that in some of the parables and then in some of the things that took place that are documented in God's Word, we see that, okay, that Pharisee or that publican or whoever, they didn't really believe this. They said this to Jesus, but we know what they thought or were thinking, and he knows what they're thinking and all. But here, that's not here. In this case, they truly acknowledged and felt and believed that the Lord, he is the God. Now, and we go down, I'll mention this before I go over to James, the book of James. But he said to the servant in the 43rd verse, go up now. And looked toward the sea, and he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. So many times you're told to do things a certain number of times. We know this number seven, and I have not memorized all of the numbers and what they symbolize and kind of what they point to and mean. But seven's an easy one. It's of completeness or the number of perfection or it's just right. It's just right, number seven. Now, could he have said, go up there and do this 17 times or 9 times? Yeah. But one thing is, and I use this example in Hezekiah's, in his event, in his life as well, but that his prayer was answered, but he also had to go do something. So here it says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down and that the rain stop thee not. And it's all about rain here. And so he's due this seven times. How many times? And I'm trying to think, this isn't time to try to for me to think back and try to remember something, but when I've prayed a prayer, or I've prayed 20 prayers, and in those prayers, I don't think any one of my prayers is ever identical to my last one or one of my others. I don't think I could not remember that. Can't even memorize really well, but 20 times, and somewhere in that prayer, though, I've prayed for the exact same thing. Maybe it's something that I feel like I need. How long? How many times do I pray for this? Well, I could pray till I die. Some prayers we do. We pray, certainly, you know, that the Lord bless the church. He forgive us of our sins here that we commit. We know eternally they've been forgiven. And so certain things, but specific things. Maybe I'm really, and there was a time I was really wanting a different job, secular job. So the one I had, it was terrible, stressful, and so forth and all. And so I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And, well, I tell you what, whether it be 7 days, 7 months, seven anything, when the time was right, God answered that prayer, and I got another job. And it amazes me the times that this sort of thing has happened. When things turned out better than they were before. When I look back and say, "Oh, I wish it was like this or this job," you know, just using that as an example. But it was even better. And I'm thankful to God, and I prayed and did thank Him that I was reminded that I need to thank Him for that blessing, that He answered that prayer after that long, however many prayers. I don't know how many times I prayed that, but it was enough. It was enough. And here, it was enough. And how many times are we to do that? And or to guide me in the right manner of thinking. You know, here I'm praying this thing over and over and over, and I'm trying to just be plain on this. But Lord, show me what I am to do. Show me what I am to pray for. And if there's one way to lean one way or another, and this way, maybe it's like, well, this would make me feel better, or make me really look better, my reputation or whatever. This way maybe glorifies God a little bit more. That's probably the way. That's probably the way. Glorify Him in what we do. So this is just one example, and this fire coming down, and they'd poured water and so forth. I wanted to bring out his Elijah's prayer there. Now I'm going to go to James, the 5th chapter. Fifth chapter of the book of Epistle of James. James chapter 5 in the 13th verse. Is any among you afflicted? So that question, he asked that question right there. Is any among you afflicted? I've tended, over my lifetime, I have almost, maybe it's just my perception, but I tend to first think, when I see afflicted, I tend to think of a physical affliction. Whether it's from birth or otherwise, examples of that also in God's Word, or something that happened in someone's lifetime where they are physically afflicted with some type of injury or condition, and they're living with that. And we pray for them. We pray for them in that. But afflicted also means to suffer trouble and to undergo hardship. That's also afflicted. And I don't know when I began this, but some of that kind of thinking came to me at some point. I think it's been since when I've been pastor over here. But I pray for those. And so often I would pray this redundant phrase, Lord, bless the sick and the afflicted. That's fine. That's fine to pray that. That covers a lot of folks. but the sick, those are physically ill and all. But also those are afflicted with an addiction of some sort. Afflicted with a family situation. And it breaks my heart, some of the things that I know are happening out there that we can't seem to do anything about. And I'm always seem to be softer hearted with children and so forth, but they depend on adults, you know. But that are afflicted, they're enduring hardship and trouble in some way. They're suffering. Maybe someone who they make plenty of money, they have a nice roof over their head, a good family, good church and all, but maybe they are suffering. They're afflicted with some sort of weakness in their manner of serving God, or in being a good husband or wife. That's an affliction. It's a hardship. It's trouble. And so when we pray for the sick and the afflicted, that covers many people. Certainly those that are physically afflicted with something, but that are in hospitals or just ill, or that there's something that they, a condition they will not get over, but the Lord bless the afflicted. But certainly those who are going through trouble that many times causes them to so strongly want that to come to an end and to be with Jesus that they do something themselves about that, and that's not good. Those are certainly prayers that we pray. But he asks here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. We sang a couple of songs a little bit fast today that are happy songs. We're to rejoice. That first verse that I read today, you can think of that when we sang the song that Brother Wayne selected, and I forget who, a little talk with Jesus, but those were fast. But we're to rejoice and be merry and sing psalms. I remember when I was a kid and I finally started leading singing, and I'd get up and lead songs at church or at the singing school or associations or something, and a lot of them, I remember my mom, I led them faster than she was comfortable with. And she was my mother, as you all know, and you know her, knew her. And she would let me know and say, well, I was a leader. It's a leader's prerogative and all that. I had to be careful. But they were joyful songs. I thought, this is the way I want to lead this. And I believe they were blessed. The congregations were blessed to sing those. And I pray or that I would be shown that that was not the right way. Now, if someone selected one of those songs, and I knew for a fact, you know what, old sister so-and-so does not like this song sung fast, well, then I hope I would follow that and sing it like maybe she likes it sung, or ask her, you know. But I would lead songs too fast a lot of times when I was younger and all, but I like those, and anyway, and we are to rejoice and be happy in our lives because of what we do know, this truth that we live in within God's will. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. I'm going to continue in a moment with this verse, but it says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. This does not mean when you are sick, when you are afflicted, that you have to call the elders and have them pray over you. That's fine if you do that, and some do. Some have done that. They're maybe in a hospital, or maybe they have had a death in the family on the minister's come. We are so happy to do that. And certainly, too, and I like this commandment, let them pray over him. Let them pray over him, because I don't know what else to say. I don't know what words do you tell someone when they've had such a great loss? I miss my mother, my dad, and all. But one thing that helped, as I'm sure she's told some of you, that she was so ready to go. And when the doctor came in, and in the hospital there in the emergency room, the room that she was in that morning that she died, and he said, this is your final opportunity to change the method of treatment. In other words, she can go home today or tomorrow. And I knew she will absolutely ream me out if I do this. And so, no, she's fine. I knew what Mom wanted. So we have this was all, she became sick and she had fallen and all, and I knew her condition and all. That kind of, okay, no surprises. I still miss her. And I'll want to go to, I'll think, oh, I need to go down the street and tell Mom about this, you know, or something. But other things that happen, we're not ready for. People taken away from us. Pray for them. Yet, this is, go get the elders, have them pray over him. And so praying, I can do that. And to me, it's so much easier to utter a prayer for someone who's experienced something than to try to tell them words of comfort. And so that's all this is saying there. But it says then, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now back here, this is a first century writing here. We don't anoint with oil. Now they, at this point, so he's speaking here to these people at that time. And they would, many times, they would mix medicines, medicinal things, herbs and liquids with oil and then anoint someone. And that was a way of healing them as well. And so anoint them. I believe that Lord's concentrating on prayer at this point. But also, again, I will repeat that so many times you pray and then you do something. You do something. Maybe you need to change. Maybe I need to repent of something, change complete directions of in some path I'm walking. And so you pray, but don't just do that. Do something. Here they anointed them. And maybe it's in healing, because he had just asked, is there any sick among you? So pray over him, and then anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. All this in the name of God. And so it taught them in this. I believe we're still taught to do some, use our mind. We take people to the doctor, to the hospital, dentist, and so forth. We take care of. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not really dreading that and all. But I don't want to rush it. I heard some other old, I can't remember who it is now, converting one of those old preaching tapes that I have, and he said, I'm not in a rush to, you know, to get there and all, but I'm ready, it's fine. But I'd rather all of us go at once, like my grandmother. We continue, we pray without ceasing, take care of ourselves. Don't just pray and then do nothing. If it's a situation too, a lot of times, and I think, you know, it's hard because I know when we're offended, we're supposed to go tell that person. That's hard. But you think, well, it makes sense because, okay, that person maybe doesn't know that they have offended me in some way. And so we're supposed to go to them and tell them that. Go to them in the Lord, spiritually. Not, well, I need to go make sure they know they offended me and that they're wrong and I'm right. No, you restore fellowship. You pray for that. You pray that God will guide you in that. Many times you don't have to go. It's like, you know what? I was just, I was immature and all. There's nothing wrong here, and you move on. Sometimes you have to do something about it. You pray and then you go do it. And if God's in all of that, then you will be blessed. You'll all be blessed. And that's no matter what it is. If it's something physical, if you're physically sick, if you're afflicted with something, with weakness, whether I'm just hanging on by a thread here, I don't know if I'm going to make it emotionally through this thing and all, then you pray, but you may need to do something else as well. I pray that God shows you that. So I hope that something I've said has been beneficial to you, and we'll close the service now. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If anyone has a
desire to join the church, you let us know. And then shake one another's hands if you so desire. If you don't feel like it.